text this morning is Philippians 1, 1 to 2. We are called as servants and saints, blessed to be a blessing to others with the grace and peace of Jesus Christ. We are called to be servants and saints of God, bringing God's grace and peace to those around us, within the body of Christ, and to a broken and lost world. What I'm hoping we will see this morning is that in Christ Jesus, we are called to be servants of God, listening and obeying God and sharing God's words and ways to others. In Christ, we are also saints, followers of God and growing in sanctification through the ministry of God's word and his Spirit. We receive God's grace and peace in order that we would be gracious and peace-giving to others in hopes they will respond to Jesus Christ and grow also in the faith. When we look at the book of Philippians, we'll see a lot of joy and thanksgiving as Paul writes. He's thanking the Philippians for their gift that they gave him in a time of need. He reported the joyful news that Epaphroditus, who had brought their gift to Paul, had recovered from an illness and is returning to them. Paul speaks, and we'll get to this as we work through the book, that he had learned the secret of being content in any situation, and he told them about his situation in prison. He expressed joy that more people were hearing about Christ, even if some of those who were proclaiming the gospel had been doing so with wrong motives. Themes we see in this book: to live as Christ. We see Christ's example of humility, that we're to be lights in the world. He informs the Philippians about Timothy and Epaphroditus. He tells us of the righteousness through faith in Jesus, and that we're to strain toward the goal. Paul wrote this letter likely in prison when he was in Rome around AD 60. So let's go ahead and turn to the text, Philippians 1, 1 and 2. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of us are familiar with Paul. He was formerly known as Saul of Tarsus, and he became an apostle of Jesus Christ and was a prominent figure in the growth of the early church. Paul's expertise in the Jewish law and thorough understanding of Greek and Roman culture made him ideally suited to proclaim the gospel among the Gentiles. He was born a Roman citizen. He grew up in Tarsus, one of the largest cities in the Roman Empire, which is located in the southeastern region of modern-day Turkey. In Tarsus, he was exposed to the Greco-Roman customs, religions, and philosophies, and he apparently became fluent in Greek. In fact, we see Paul quoting thinkers like Aratus in Acts 17:28, Menander in 1 Corinthians 15:33, as well as Epimenides, I don't know Greek, so that's a struggle, Titus in Titus 1:12. Now, Timothy, he was a half-Jewish believer who met Paul in Lystra and worked closely with him in ministry. And as a result, Timothy became like a son to Paul. And as we read this letter, there's no hint that he had any share in the writing of this letter. The reason for the mention of Timothy is more likely to be found in the apostle's thankfulness that in his time of need, he could rely on Timothy, and that Timothy joins Timothy's name as a way to show him esteem and also to pave the way when he tells them that he will be visiting the Philippians. Paul goes on to describe himself and Timothy that they are servants of Christ Jesus. And this word servant in Greek is doulos, which means literally slave. Now, we have a struggle here in the sense of when we think of slave, we probably, our thoughts first go to what we know of slavery in the United States and its history. But in the culture of Rome at this time, it is a broad use word. It included people who were born slaves or captured in war or those who voluntarily became slaves to pay off debt. So there was a lot of freedom for a lot of bond servants. And so to use slave, well, we're going to talk about that now just a little bit. In 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20, Paul wrote, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. There, so glorify God in your body." The reason I bring this up is we were bought with a price. And so we are not our own. And in a sense, God does own us. Paul refers elsewhere in other letters that as an apostle, a messenger of God. But here he uses the word servant or slave. Perhaps he's trying to describe or show a humble attitude that Jesus himself demonstrated. Another possibility is in the Old Testament, we see that Moses is referred to as a servant of God, as well as the prophets are referred to servants of God. And here it denotes God's authority over them and that they were called to be messengers. And in a way, it was more of a form of dignity, perhaps. So I lean toward the word that's used in the ESV, servant. We are servants of God. And then he continues to refer to the believers at Philippi as saints in Christ Jesus. But we'll talk about saints in a moment. Philippi, obviously, it's a city in Macedonia that is northeast Greece today, named after Alexander the Great's father, King Philip II. Based on Philippi's likely demographics, the church there would have been almost entirely non-Jewish, non-Roman, and impoverished, perhaps joined by a few middle-class merchants. The believers there probably faced severe persecution and economic hardships. But he also adds to the saints in Christ Jesus in Philippi with overseers and deacons. Overseers sometimes is translated bishops, but is equal to the idea of elders. There are those who oversee the church, the plurality of elders. And of course, deacons are those who do ministry and service. And I know we don't formally have deacons or elders right now. I am telling you, some of you are already those things because you are ministering to each other. You take care of others. So I'm going to talk about this first verse, focusing on servants and saints. Paul writes that he and Timothy are servants of Christ Jesus, and he calls the Philippians saints in Christ Jesus. And I would like to tell you that you are both. We are both. I talked about the being slaves of Jesus Christ. We know we serve a gracious and merciful Lord, and yet he is holy and righteous. This idea of being his servant, I mentioned in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20. So what this means for us, we should be attentive to what God says to us in his word, and when he speaks to us in prayer, perhaps through other Christians. We need to be obedient, fulfilling all that God requires. And this is obviously a lifelong process, the sanctification, because we know in our own strength, we cannot fulfill what God requires. We learn that from the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. We need to consider God's will and his desires before our own, looking in ways to serve him by loving and serving others. In 2 Corinthians 5, 14 to 21, Paul writes this, "For the love of Christ controls us because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised." You realize what Paul's saying here. He is saying basically, again, in a different way, that we are not our own, that we have died with Christ. That's our picture when we are baptized in immersion. We have joined Christ in this death going under the water. And we're joining Christ as we come out of the water to resurrection. And so Our life now is not for ourselves, but for the sake of him who bought us. Verse 16, from now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. This is why we should be forgetting what has happened behind us. We are no longer the old person. In Christ, we are a new creature. Verse 18, all this is from God who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. This is why I believe the idea of servants of God. God has called us to join in this message of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. For a moment, just think, who does the ambassador represent? The one who sent them, right? God is sending us. Whose interests are they promoting? The interests of God. So it's just some questions as we think about being servants of God. How well do you consider God's will and desires above your own? I know it's a high order. I confess I don't do as well as I could be. How well are you obedient to the Lord's commands and directions? We know we will sin at times, but if a sin is coming to mind that is a ongoing sin, you need to confess and repent of that. And if you need help, seek that help. We are here to help each other. Sometimes we are fighting things that we are not meant to fight alone. That's why we have the fellowship of believers. How well are you attentive to listen to the Lord in prayer? Or as you read his word, are you looking for him to speak to you? Or as you listen to a Bible study or the word being preached, are you trying to discern, is God speaking to you about something in your own life? How consistent are you in sharing God's word, his ways, his love to others? These are things we should be considering as we think about being servants of God. Are we fulfilling God's call on our life? But now let's talk about being saints in Christ Jesus. And again, we are saints in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, or the anointed one, Jesus. Well, in Exodus 40, we see Moses is instructed to God to sanctify the altar and basin in the midst of the tabernacle. Why am I bringing that up? We just read that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit living in us. In one sense, we are sanctified in Christ. And so persons who belong to God and as such constitute a religious entity. We are God's people. But let us not get confused. When we call someone a saint, it doesn't mean we have arrived, does it? We see in Scripture where Paul and others may exhort saints to be more obedient to the Lord. I'm trying to forestall a cough. Here we go again. Lord help me. And so, positionally, we are saved in Christ. And the sanctification is an ongoing thing. So when we talk about saints, we are saying these are people who believe in Jesus Christ, who are followers of Christ. And that is what Paul is saying here to the saints in Philippi, in Christ Jesus. So let us turn now to Philippians 1, to our reading this morning. Sorry, that is our text. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and deacons, verse 2. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Roman culture at this time, in the Greek culture, they have thousands of letters that are opening up with a similar greeting. But the difference in these greetings, they use the verb form. I don't know, we don't have really a grace verb except, we were graced with so-and-so's presence, but that's not what we're really trying to say here. But they would use the verb form of grace as a greeting. Paul changes it to a noun because he is referring to the grace of God. He's wishing or imputing or reminding those he's writing about the grace of God to you, grace to you, God's grace to you. And then the peace from God and our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Greek word here is very similar to the Hebrew word. And the idea, the thought here is that it is total wholeness, completeness, rest from God. It's not just the absence of chaos or anxiety. It is being complete and whole. And this is coming from Christ. This is a common greeting. Even today in Israel, in Hebrew, they would be saying shalom, peace to you. And so he is speaking that they would receive God's grace and the peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I would suggest to you that when we are receiving God's grace and his peace, we in turn need to be doing the same to others. We need to be gracious to others. We need to be peace givers to people. I want to turn to our reading now in Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 3. And here Paul writes, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of the world, following the prince of the power of air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind." This is where we were before Christ. Does this sound like a life full of grace and peace? Of course not. Instead of having God's grace and peace, we were dead in trespasses and sin. We were of the world, following the evil one, being disobedient, following our fleshly passions, living out our desires of the body and mind. We were children of wrath, of God's wrath to come. But then we come to verse 4. And I find these two words perhaps the most powerful words of hope. Because no matter what our circumstances, there's a God who loves us. But God. These two words remind me that salvation from beginning to end is from God. Verse 4, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us." We can accept this, right? We like to think God is love, and he is. We often see John 3:16 at the stadiums. Everyone loves the idea that God loves the world. We can think of those in our lives who have shown us love. But stop and think about it. In what state were we when God demonstrated that love for us? When you think of the people who loved you, what state were you in? It's always easy to love those who love us. And yet in verse 5, we see the first part. He loved this kind of love towards us, even when we were dead in our trespasses. You realize, when we were in that previous life before Christ, we were condemned to God's wrath. Can you imagine someone on your terrible persons list? Is this person bad enough if you were given the authority, that you would be willing to flip the lever that would execute this person to death. Think about it. You realize we were once at that place. And online, if you can't see me, I'm sorry. I'm sitting down in a chair. We were. Now, I know Jesus died on the cross, but today we use the electric chair sometimes for means of execution. This is where we were. And sometimes you think God's at the lever ready to pull it on us. That's not who God is. That is not who God is. He's not sitting there waiting for to pull the lever on us. In John 3:18, Jesus said, "Whoever believes in the one God sends is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." This is why before Christ, this is where we were. In the chair of execution, biding our time. We think we had everything together, but this is where we were, destined for God's wrath. And as I said, people think that God's ready to pull that lever. But that's not what we read, was it? We read in verse 4, "But God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us," verse 5, "even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ." You see, Christ is the one who took our place in that seat. Only for him it was a cross. He who knew no sin took the penalty. And it was God who pulled the lever on his son and crushed him, as it says in Isaiah. But God made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. God did this to his own son to save us from sin and death that we could not save ourselves. But look, it doesn't stop there. And notice the tense of these verbs. "And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Do you realize that's where we are in God's mind? How often do we forget that? We should be holding on to these truths, realizing that we are, in one sense, already there. We are his. "So that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus." It's not even stopping being in the presence of God. He's going to show us more kindness of his grace towards us. Verse 8. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." I share this passage because we need to understand the measure of grace and peace God gave to us through Jesus Christ. We were enemies of God and he still showed us grace. He wanted to have that peace in relationship with us, reconciling us through Christ's blood. And we, in turn, are to share that grace and peace to others, even when they're giving you the finger because they think you cut them off. We need to begin thinking and asking the Lord God to help us to be gracious and peace-giving as he has been towards us in Christ Jesus. And if you're thinking that's impossible, in your own strength, you are absolutely right. And this is why we are both servants and saints. God is calling us to something that we can't do in our own strength, but he has empowered us. He's given us the gift of his Holy Spirit to those who believe in Jesus Christ. And he's calling us as saints. We know where we're going. It's past tense here. Positionally, we are there, but we're living it out, and we know we still have the flesh we're dealing with. So we're hopefully growing in sanctification. But the goal is God's using us to reach others for Christ, and we do that by being gracious and peace-giving to those around us as God has been towards us. In Christ Jesus, we are servants of God, listening and obeying God, and sharing God's word and ways to others. In Christ Jesus, we are saints, followers of God, and growing in sanctification through the ministry of God's word and spirit. We received God's grace and peace in order to be gracious and peace-giving to others in hopes they will respond to Jesus Christ and turn to him. We are called to be servants and saints of God, bringing God's grace and peace to those around us in the body of Christ and in a broken and lost world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do need you. We thank you. We thank you for the call of being both servants and saints. Holy Spirit, help us to be more in tune to hearing and listening to God as he speaks to us in his word and in prayer and through our brothers and sisters. That we would fulfill that call to be messengers of the message of reconciliation. But we also thank you, Lord God, for the grace and peace you've given us in and through Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, we acknowledge we know some people who are very hard to love, very hard to be gracious to and to give peace, and yet you call us to that. Give us wisdom. But most of all, Lord, help us to fulfill what you're calling us to be and to do in Christ Jesus for your glory and your purposes, that as you have blessed us with your grace and peace, we can be gracious and peace-giving to others. For the glory of your name, Almighty God, for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, who paid our debt and is not only the way, but shows us the way to go. And we ask in the name of the Holy Spirit, and who indwells us, who empowers us and guides us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.